I was trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit, and it was just awful. I was killing myself because, like, he was so limited to what he could do.
Yeah.
Just grab me and throw me around. And, oh, my gosh, maybe if he just kicks the shit out of me for, like, 5 or 6 minutes here, and then we'll figure out some way to get out of this.
Well, Mark, we're back.
We are back.
For another episode.
Oh, why?
We have obligations to the sponsors.
We do now. You got me into this shit. Yeah. And now we're obligated.
Yes, and happy dad. Thank
cheers.
You.
Thank you, happy
Mark
dad.
To wake up and have to work now. Fruit punch.
This will help.
Yeah, it'll get you through an episode. Yeah, I kind of forced you into this thing, didn't I?
You did. You back channeled me into this somehow.
Yeah, it's funny.
Social media had no interest in it. You got me
you
into
didn't
that.
You didn't want anything to do with anything.
You know how many childhoods I've ruined now
because of me?
Because of you. You That's, know, people are upset that I am on social media. I'm doing podcasts. I'm not the scary dude anymore. My kids aren't even scared of me now.
Well, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world.
No, you gotta keep them hammered down. You gotta not that you're going to do that, but they gotta think that
you're willing to do it at any
time. Yeah, at any time.
No, it is funny. Something you know, we haven't really ever talked about this. I don't think
you've made me soft.
I haven't made you soft.
You've made me soft.
That's not my doing at all.
I was never soft.
Not my doing at all.
Yeah.
No. Nah. But it is funny because, you know, I will, I started reading on the last episode that came out. There's a nice long thread of people hating me.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, man. Can I read?
I have my own reasons.
Yeah,
but I'm just curious if it's the same.
No. So
what are you doing that's pissing people off?
You know what? Hold on. We've talked about this. This is going to be my next segment here is going to be by Wally X. I'm putting my hater shades on.
Hater shades?
Yeah.
Look at these wood frames. Wow. You're a heat-seeking missile right now.
Oh, bro.
If you're going to embrace it, brother, embrace it.
Yeezy 6 Sosa.
Yeezy 6 Sosa. You're gonna acknowledge? Okay.
I don't care.
No,
he wrote this yesterday. 121 people liked it.
121 people liked this guy's 44 comment.
44 replies.
Holy crap.
Oh, man. It's
And it's long?
No, okay. This is what he said. This other guy talks so much about himself. It's so annoying. Every conversation leads to a story about him. We're not here for you, bud. We're here for Taker. The next guy, yeah, I agree. this is the best one.
Wait. Bud? Are you Bud?
Yeah.
What?
We're not here for you, bud. We're here for Taker.
I got you, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah,
and somebody replied to that?
Yeah. There's 44 people. Oh. Captain Amazing.
Captain Amazing.
Yeah. This person said, what's worse for me is his voice. It's so grainy and lazy.
Great.
In the back of his throat.
It's
I got something to put in the back of your throat. I cannot listen to it.
I can't listen.
Which sucks because I love Mark.
Well,
and would love
you.
To listen to him and what he's got to say. But that other dude, man, he just ruins it.
That's harsh, man. Do they not know that your balls haven't dropped yet?
And yeah,
maybe that's why
trust me. Ever since I was a kid, I know that I've got a weird accent and my voice is weird.
Oh, it's South Kakalaki.
Yeah, it is God's country. Darren Purvis, 6150, totally agree. I've tried to ignore him, but he has no charisma.
Now, Matt.
Let's enjoy your happy dad over there. And
this is maybe the greatest episode ever.
And the worst thing is
the worst
This is the best one.
Okay.
This is the best
hang
one.
Hang on.
This is the one I wanted to get to, right?
Hang on.
Because then after this one, it like, I think it turns into like a little bit of an argument. I don't ever, here's the funny thing. I don't ever read the comments. And then yesterday, I'm in the airport and I just pulled it up.
You don't read the comments.
And I pulled up the episode or whatever. And that was like the first comment that was that so you can kind of see it. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so
go ahead.
This person, I think, is the best one of all. I don't, it's some Chris B 3771, something like that. And the worst thing is, he pretends to be his friend, but is just a suck up to snatch some fame from Taker. 13 people liked that.
13 people. I mean, you mean they think they agreed that you're just, you're trying to become insta famous
off of
my coattails?
Yeah. I don't know what makes less sense, where it says that I'm a suck up. Apparently, you haven't heard me. And if you were here and the cameras aren't on, I'd probably bust your balls more with the cameras off.
Yeah. By far.
If I was a suck up, I would say that you're the greatest wrestler of all time, that, you know, you're the greatest this, the greatest that. I would know, like, I don't know, more about your career, things like that.
Well, you know, more about my career.
What? What? And then the fact that I'm here to snatch some fame.
You're a fame snatcher.
I'm a fame snatcher. Yeah.
Wow, Matt. What have you done?
I don't know, man. I think that I don't know if maybe people are just jealous or what. I'm no Joe Rogan. I know that. The last thing I'm trying to do is snatch fame. I know a lot of famous people.
You do. You know more famous people than I know.
I hang out with a lot of famous people.
Do you snatch their fame too?
No. I have zero desire to. Mm. I would argue to say, and I think you would back this up, it probably aggravates me that you're famous more than anything.
But it's because you don't like taking pictures.
I don't
like having to stand in the picture.
I don't like, depending on who you're having to take a picture with. Yes. But
wow.
Yeah. I mean, this was a full-blown...
I'm hurt for you.
I'm not. This I'm excited about. And what I'm hoping for is moving forward, that we can have more conversations like this, and the people that truly hate me and the people that hate the way that my voice sounds, you know, because...
It is kind of annoying.
It is. I know.
I didn't really ever notice it until right now when you mentioned it. Now it is kind of... kind of nasally, and
I sound like Forrest Gump with a lower IQ.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah. What was I thinking?
I don't know. But here's the thing: the reason I brought all of this up, and what we were talking about, me like sucking you into all of this. I think what's hilarious is people think that I'm like sucking your fame. But back when you and I first had a conversation about ever doing this, the first ever conversation, you were like, oh, people would just fall asleep. They're not going to listen to this. Then the second conversation, you said, all right, let's try it. And how did I write the show? The show was, because I came up with this idea, but I wrote it how? How was it supposed to be done?
I was supposed to do it by myself.
Exactly.
Yes. And last second, I said, get over here so I have somebody to talk to. Right? I invited. Wait a minute. Now they're going to hate on me, man.
I'm not. No, they won't.
No.
No, they won't.
No.
They're not going to hate on you.
Because obviously they don't like you.
And I knew that was going to happen.
How did you know that was
going to
happen? How did you know that was going to happen?
Because I know me.
And you knew you were going to talk too much?
I know this. I know that you don't like talking.
Well, yeah.
And I knew that... I've got to pull things out of you.
No, I just need to know what we're talking about.
But then the other part is,
oh man,
it's not necessarily pulling things out of you sometimes, but you've even said, hey, let's just have a conversation.
Yeah.
And a conversation, contrary to what you may believe, is between two people.
Yeah, that's how you have a conversation.
Yeah.
Anyway, are you going to leave those shades on, by the way?
I don't know.
I think you should. You. This heel role that you're going to embrace.
I've got some confidence right now.
Yeah.
And.
Well, you just, hey, you do you.
Do my shoulders look bigger?
No.
Okay.
Are we actually doing a show right now?
Yeah, we are. We are.
I didn't know you were going to get butthurt over this.
No. I thought that it was, when I read it yesterday, I was like, oh man, this is a perfect, segment.
I didn't know you had so much heat though.
I knew when this all started, there was going to be heat.
Yeah. Well, you had a precursor because we've gone back and forth online. And yes. You got hate when you
closed a long time ago.
Yeah. So you saw the writing on the wall.
Oh yeah. I had death threats because of you. So
it was just, it was playful banter.
Yeah. It was someone in the Middle East. Okay. And
what? No, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't have.
So it was,
you should watch what you say to me. I'm just saying there's people out there.
No, it was, No, I thought that was hilarious. People love saying that they don't like. I mean, I'm just the other guy. I mean, we could put that on a shirt or something for me.
Dude, that's a whole other line of merch. Yeah.
I guess if I wanted to be famous, if I want to suck your fame up or something, I would, you know, try to promote myself and promote, you know, my own social media and all that stuff. But yet I don't do any of those things.
Don't defend yourself.
Yeah.
No. It's going to make it worse if you defend yourself. You need to embrace.
You know what? I've tried to not drink.
The people. The peoples are making you drink. Your feelings are hurt. I can tell. I can tell. Your feelings are a little bit hurt right now.
You know
now.
What? They're not hurt. You know why?
What?
Because if you just scroll down. People came to my defense.
They did come to your defense.
People were saying this is the best podcast ever. They were,
of course, it's because of you. Is that what you're saying?
Nope. They're saying that, you know, there's a lot of people that even said that they actually liked me as a podcast. One person, I don't know if they were actually defending me, but they said, hey, not everybody's a great co-host, but it felt nice.
That felt
better.
That's better.
Yeah.
Find me a good one. Find me something good that somebody
you want
said.
Something
yeah,
good?
Let's give them a shout out too.
Yeah, there was some nice ones in there.
You only tagged Abe. Only tags the bad ones.
Oh, here's one person. Carmen Ashley said, "Then don't watch." Bomb. Why? And how would you like Taker to do a one? Man podcast. This isn't an interview. It's a conversation. Bro, Undertaker 4700. Bro, it's his friend. They're chatting in a co-host podcast. It's not an interview. Friends talk to each other. Matt is Kingley. Matt is clearly a good friend of Taker's. And if Taker wanted to do nothing but tell his own stories, he'd interrupt as he has many times on other podcasts, or have a podcast on his own. These are real people, man.
Wow.
People
that was deep. See, so you're getting some love.
This is two guys hanging out, two friends.
Yeah. We're hanging out.
This was pretty funny.
Okay, come on.
They like Texas and Thin Blue Line, uh-oh. But it's not that bad.
They like Texas and Thin Blue Line.
But it's not that bad.
My goodness.
He's just being relatable. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Now, what was my original perspective for you? My original perspective is I wanted somebody who had whose perspective?
A fan's perspective.
I didn't want somebody inside the business or a so-called
expert
in the wrestling business. I wanted a fan's perspective, yeah. And that's what you brought.
And I think that I'm bringing a fan's perspective, also someone who is a friend of Mark Calloway and knows Mark Calloway. I know what you like outside of the ring.
Right.
And I know And I also know what to bring up and what not to bring up on a lot of things, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's key.
Yeah, yeah.
That's key to keeping that chair warm right
exactly.
there.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not going to, you know, yeah. there's certain things here we're not going to talk about. There's certain things we are going to talk about. But mostly we're just going to have a good time. And I think that we both have made an agreement a long time ago that when you're tired and done, we're done.
We're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy sitting over there that might try to motivate us.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, if we're not having fun, then it's going to come off as no. we're not having fun.
And, you know, man, it's I appreciate the fans. I appreciate that those conversations. I appreciate people commenting. That means they're listening. That means they care. That mm-hmm. means they're engaged. I am who I am. It is what it is.
Well, this is one thing you got to learn. You got to learn right away if you're going to be – in front of a camera, if you're going to be in the public, you got to take the good and the bad because you're going to get both of them.
Yeah.
And you just got to, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And then that's the thing with social media and everything else. Everybody gets to express themselves and be comfortable in their homes and don't have to be accountable. So, you know what? Just let them hate, man.
Yeah.
Let them hate.
Yeah.
Because you got, like you said, you got people here that love you and stick up for you.
Yeah.
I mean.
Whether they, I don't know if they love me or not, but they.
Well, they might.
They're at least defending me, and I appreciate
defending
that.
You. That means they care.
Yeah. In the next few episodes coming up, we have guests that are going to be.
Yeah, we actually are going to turn into like a real podcast soon, I think.
Yeah.
So we better either kill it now.
Or get out.
or we're going to be too deep in here in a minute.
Yeah. I'm excited about the guests that are coming up. And,
yep.
you know, we're going to let the cat out of the bag here. We actually, you know, batch shot these episodes with the guests. And had
explain batch shooting so that our audience knows. They probably know. They're wrestling fans.
They are wrestling fans, and they are smart people. So, yes. But we do... We will shoot a bunch of episodes in one day.
Yeah.
And having the guest on and doing that, is it makes it a lot easier. But the guests that we have that are coming up, I think the fans are going to be really excited about. We got some wrestling in there. We got some yep. MMA in there.
Yep.
Military, film. I mean, it's just a wide variety.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some good stuff coming up, and I'm really excited to have everybody keep an open mind and
yeah.
sit back and get inspired and learn. I mean, this was an inspiring day. Some of the interviews that we did today were,
yeah, it's amazing.
They were a lot of fun.
So for you, who were some of the people that you would love to like be able to sit, if you could have someone sit in this chair and having a conversation with, who's that? Who are those people that like you hope that you can get on here?
Well, I like people. One, the wrestling element part of it is nice to have a link, like to have people, I don't know, like a Shaquille O'Neal,
yeah.
who's a big wrestling fan, and obviously one of the most recognizable athletes in the world. I like people that have been very successful in their fields, and I want to hear their stories of what they went through to get to their whatever level that they reach. And the common link obviously is the wrestling aspect of it, of their fandom towards, because I forget, like when I was wrestling, you just don't think of other people, like of other celebrities being a fan of yours.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You just think, Shaq dominated for years.
Yeah.
But then you see or you meet them and they're like, man, I remember when you wrestled so-and-so, and you realize that you're like kind of on an equal level in their eyes because of the things that you've achieved or things that you've done on TV. So it's really cool to meet people like that. So like Shaq, and there's people in the music industry, you know, who I'd love to get on is Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a huge wrestling fan.
And his story is just so good.
It is so good. I mean, it is
such an inspiration.
I mean, yeah. When you got everything in the world going against you and you turn your life around and have the success that he had, my goodness, or is having, I should say. You know, I mean, he's on everything right now.
And, you know, he's really working, in, especially in the state of Tennessee, on the judicial side of things, right? Of trying to make some changes there. I wonder, and you probably don't know, but I wonder if he's having any conversations with Glenn Jacobs. I wonder if they've had any conversations with Glenn being, the mayor at Knox County.
And, yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if there's that opportunity there for him to, you know.
You know what? I'm sure there is, and maybe if we can get Jelly on, I can bridge that gap there. Maybe help things out. I'd love to have Kane on too, just to blend to have just to
what an not interesting only talk, guy. God.
Yeah, I mean, not only the, I mean we could do 2 hours on wrestling, but I want to hear, you know, what he's doing, you know, now and being in public office, because he's one of the few people that I think that is in public office that is doing it for the right reasons. Like he wants to make change and wants to do things, whether you agree with his politics or not, that doesn't matter. No. But I think in his heart, he's genuine. I know he is. Because I know the kind of human being he is. He is genuinely being the mayor of Knox County because he wants to make change for the people there in Eastern Tennessee. And he is, he's a very just smart, intelligent man. And I think I'd love to have him. I mean, that's kind of back to wrestling, but those are the kind of things that I'd like to just get people from other, genres of entertainment and sports and just kind of, you know, there's, because that's what I am in my core is I'm a sports fan.
Yep.
I love sports. I love, obviously I love college football. I love pro football. So to be able to have somebody that loves wrestling, I think it's cool. Then you compare stories and you can talk about, you know, the things like, man, you know, you're down by 2 touchdowns and in the fourth quarter of that playoff game, what was going through your mind? And then come back with, well, when you were working with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25 and you dove out and you crashed and I mean, what, you know, those are the kind of conversations that I want to have. And then be able to just like, again, talk about the sacrifice, talk about the struggle. Cause everything everybody sees for the most part is the success. They see the show and everything's great, but wrestling people, I think, are a little more in tune with the backstories
and how hard it is to get to that.
Yeah, just by the nature of things now, that's the stuff I think that really interests a lot of our audience is the especially with me, since I didn't say anything for 30 years, they're interested in hearing some of the stuff that's happened that I've never talked about.
Yeah.
So myself, I'm interested in understanding the struggles of athletes and how they and what they had to go through to get to the levels that they I think it would make really interesting conversations.
But. Yeah. And I mean, you know, today we interviewed, you know, several people, and you know, one of those people that's coming up, I mean, he was Green Beret, goes and plays at the University of Texas and goes and has a chance in the NFL. And you know, and I think a lot of it is the story from him that you know will be aired here in a couple of weeks is the overcoming the adversity, but also like, okay, I didn't make the team in the NFL.
Right.
What do you do now? And being able to understand what the next thing to do. So finding those people and getting those people on, I think it's inspirational as well. Because we could sit here and do a sports podcast all day long.
Yeah, but everybody's doing that. I mean,
is it adding value to anybody's life?
Yeah, you know? And that's something that I think I know with the couple of those guests, if you don't get inspired by their stories. Yeah, you can't be touched, and I think that's something. There's one thing that I want to keep things light as possible. When I don't need to badmouth the wrestling business. I don't need to badmouth people that are out there struggling, which is a hot thing to do now, is to badmouth this and badmouth that. Now, there's some probably some people that need to be badmouthed. And if it happens, it happens. But that's not the focus. I don't need to do this to badmouth the industry. It's not my nature anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want people tuning in like, oh man, he's gonna bury this guy or he's gonna bury that guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't interest
me.
Especially
with where wrestling's at right now. Wrestling's on such a high note right now.
Like, oh, it's so good.
We don't need to sit here and talk bad about anybody, current, past.
Yeah, it's different. The business is different, and you just I've accepted the fact that it's different, and it's evolved. And like, who am I to like? Well, man, that's not the way. It's not the way I would have done it. It's just like, and I know there's probably part of our audience that wants to hear that crap, but
there's other podcasts for them to go listen to.
Yeah, there's plenty of podcasts where people are going to just dog people out. And like I said, if I get called out, and that's a whole nother story, but for just the sake of talking about somebody, I don't have any interest in that. I'd rather hear something inspirational about somebody's journey to get where they're at, whether it be a wrestler or some other sports person or some other entertainment genre. I'm that kind of stuff. Cause I know what I went through. I know what I went through and the sacrifices that I make. So I'm interested to know that there's other people's stories.
And yeah.
Matt.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get bigger muscles. First Form's supposed to give you bigger muscles.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to take the First Form and then you go to the gym and you use weights. You're not doing that right.
Well, I mean, this is almost 2.5 pounds worth of protein in here. I figured this would.
I understand it's 2.5 pounds of protein, but. Although that may be the weights that you use, you need to consume what's inside.
Hmm. Well, does this help you pick up bigger things?
Huh?
Does this help you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Bigger weights and everything?
It will. You have to ingest it first.
Okay. So this is what I was doing is not going to give me bigger shoulders.
It is not going to
give me. If I could do like lat raises with it.
No, it's not going to help you.
That's going to help you
one bit.
So I've got to ingest it, though. Sure. That's what
you're saying. And it tastes really good.
Yeah.
And I know how you like to eat. So just imagine you're drinking a big old slice of red velvet cake right there. And
I could eat red velvet cake and
no.
Get bigger muscles.
That's red velvet cake flavored protein.
I can't actually eat red velvet cake.
No. Man. Well, you can.
But I'm not going to get.
But well, you're not. Your shoulders aren't going to get any bigger by eating red velvet cake.
All right. So what you're saying is I should probably go to First Form, get myself some protein powder.
Get you some protein. And it doesn't have to be red velvet. They have many flavors.
Many flavors. Okay. And
I think before you even need to do that, you probably should go get a membership at a gym.
Well, I've got a membership. So now I just got to get First Form.
Okay. So good. You've got that.
Got the first step done.
Do you remember where it's at?
I do know where it's at. It's right beside my work.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Get you some First Form.
Go there.
Take it. Weights. Go lift weights.
Will do. Thanks, Mark.
Anytime.
So I know we're having a lot of fun doing this, and it's really, I think it's taken both of us out of our typical box that we live in and what we typically do.
It took me way out of my box.
Yeah,
no,
it took you way out of your box. And I think a lot of the fans have enjoyed it. Most of them have enjoyed it, from what I can tell. I think moving forward, seeing more guests on here is going to be a lot of fun too. And especially some of the guys that you worked with and having them on here and them pulling some stories out of you and maybe telling some stories that maybe you were hoping that maybe never got revealed.
Left in the closet for, yeah. I think most of my stories I think the statute of limitations has run out on most of them.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I'll find out when I go home.
Yeah.
Right? You never told me about that.
That's right. Some news that came out, though, was WrestleMania 41.
Oh, man.
So I don't know if you realize or not, but the internet believes that you spilled the beans on WrestleMania 41.
That I did?
Yes.
So how did I wrestle?
There was a whole like thing out there. Undertaker, did Undertaker reveal the next location of WrestleMania 41? And you said in the podcast here, hey, I think I heard that it was going to be in Las Vegas. We just mentioned WrestleMania 41 and location and everything else. You said, I think I've heard that it was going to be in Las Vegas. I know where you heard that from. You heard that from me.
So you spilled the beans, and I think the blame?
I didn't know that it was going to be in Las Vegas.
You just threw it out there.
I saw online, because what they cut up on the internet of you saying that.
Oh, I hate what they do.
They didn't do the full context of the story that we were talking about, where we were talking about potential locations, and I said, and all I had to do was put in the article, the other guy with the grainy, nasally voice said, I saw online where it potentially might be in Las Vegas. I said that about two episodes prior. Then two episodes later, you mentioned, because we were talking about WrestleMania 40 and you know where it's going to go next and all this stuff, and you were like, I think I've heard that it was going to be in Vegas. Well, you heard that from me two episodes prior.
They just made the decision, so I don't I don't know.
Like, there was I saw a list online of like potential locations that are like future locations for WrestleMania. Like
Minneapolis, I heard was
Minneapolis was one. Vegas, I think I saw like New Orleans and stuff. And I was like, you know, and I just kind of threw out, because I think maybe we had talked about the Super Bowl and everything else, and I was like,
which that was in Vegas, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But WrestleMania is going to Vegas. Hasn't gone to Vegas since
Caesars.
Since Caesars Palace, your Hall of Fame match.
Giant Gonzalez.
I mean,
man.
The match that sealed
the deal.
Your right deal, the ring on. I mean, they went and got your ring size after that for your Hall of Fame ring.
Wow. That match. Mm. That whole angle. Oh my gosh. I should have been in the ring with Yoko then.
But instead.
Instead, I'm riding out on the chariot with a big black vulture. That big black vulture was there to pick the bones of that sorry match. Oh my gosh. You know what? It is amazing that I survived the early years of my career. It really, the opponents that, and I'm not going to name names, but I'll name that one because I've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll probably go to hell for this, but he's deceased anyway. But, I mean, Giant Gonzalez, brother. Wow. He was – I mean, Giant Gonzalez made Khali look like Luthez. I mean
– I don't think anyone's mistaking him for a cat by any means.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah.
It was such – a struggle, and it wasn't his fault. I mean, it was what it was. You can only do what you can do, but, and he was on paper, what a viable, you know, what a viable threat to the Undertaker. He's a foot taller than me.
Yeah.
A foot taller. He was damn near 7'8". And man, he had that muscle suit with the fur on it. And
what did he look like under the muscle suit? I think
I didn't spend a lot of time. Like, once I was done at ding, ding, ding,
done.
I was done.
Time to go home. I'm done with this guy.
I need to go and have some cold beverages. I need to have lots of cold beverages and try and wash this out of my memory bank, because they were awful. I don't think I had one good match with him. And believe me, because this was, that was 93, maybe?
WrestleMania 9?
seven, eight, nine. Would have been 93. Yeah. Wait, 90.
91 was seven.
92 was in Indianapolis. I think it was
93. Yeah.
I think it was 93 at Caesars in Vegas. Oh my, I tried hard, man, to make something. I was trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit, and it was just awful. I was killing myself because, like, he was so limited to what he could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just grab me and throw me around. And at that time, I didn't, you know, that was boom, setup taker, no sell taker. It was just, it was all about the character. And I was having to reach the outer banks of everything just to try and make it. Yeah, I was just like, oh my gosh, maybe if he just kicks the shit out of me for like 5 or 6 minutes here and then we'll figure out some way to get out of this. It was awful. And you know, he snapped me, right? He made me crack. I don't know if I've told
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you've told the story. It. You've told it to me, yeah.
So, you know, the 90s, I burned the candle.
Really?
I burned it on both ends, in the middle, and around the sides. So,
man,
I know.
Doesn't sound like you at all.
I know it doesn't sound like me at all, yeah, right?
I heard that Bear used to drink, too.
No, a little bit.
Yeah.
No, he did. Bear, just a little. Just a little.
Yeah. Wow.
A smidge here and there.
I just can imagine Godfather drinking.
Social sipper.
A little red wine with a steak.
Anyway, so back, I have, in 93, I've got zero really juice. I got no pull. I got no stroke. And back in 93, we were still doing double shots. Double shots, a certain part of the year, on Saturday and Sunday, we worked two shows every, like we worked two shows on Saturday and we'd work two shows on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we're out at that point sometimes 3-4 weeks straight. Working every day. We would do 3 days of TV that would play, and then we toured. That's all we did. City to city to city to city. Yeah. Double shots on the weekend. So I think it was Indianapolis was the first show, and bell time was noon, right? Because then we had to go down maybe to Cincinnati, somewhere like that. And I'd had a late night. And I'd been telling George, I was like, I don't care how hard you hit me. Like with a forearm smash, mm-hmm. right? You know, you hit. I said, I don't care how hard you hit me. Just hit me in the shoulder blades. That's all I ask. Hit me in the shoulder blades and I will sell for you and we will, you know, we will do what we came here to do. Every time, man, he would pull me down. He'd grab me by the back of my head. He'd pull me down and I'm expecting the shot across the shoulder blades and he'd hit me in the back of the neck. And I was as patient as long as I could be. Every time we'd go back to the dressing room, George, when you pull me down, make sure you hit me. And I would grab another person and show them the shoulder blades.
This is where the shoulder blades are located.
This is your landing zone right here.
Yeah.
Hit me as hard as you want. I don't care. Just hit me here. He'd shake his head like he understood me. Yeah, you know, and I'd go to Bruno, Harvey Whippleman. Harvey, he got it. He know. Yeah. He's got it. Next night, same thing. So we get to this double shot, and I'd had a late night, a really late night, and it was an early day, 12 o'clock first. Ding, ding, ding at 12 o'clock. We were on right before intermission. Ding, ding, ding. Bell rings. Not even 5 seconds. Like, it's the whole match is just me bumping around anyway until the end.
Yeah.
just making him look like the monster and the killer that he was. 5 seconds in, here we go. He pulls me down, and he cracks me right across the back of the neck. And then once I got the feeling back in my little fingers, because now I'm getting stingers that are shooting down, I flipped. I turned around and just started wailing on him. I beat him, you know, and he was like, he had no clue. Like, he couldn't even, I hit him so fast so many times that he couldn't defend himself. Because he was trying to lean back, and, you know, I'm just wailing on it.
You're punching up.
Oh, yeah. It's a good thing I was punching up, because I was pissed. And I still, I'm throwing punches, and my fingertips are, like, going still. In. I can still feel it. And I can see, at the time, George Animal Steel was an agent. And I can see him running up the aisle, they can hear he's yelling, like, kiddo, stop. So anyway, I got out of the ring or something happened. I count out some kind of bull crap, and I went back to the dressing room. I was just pacing, waiting on him to come back. Man, he came back. He was already lumped up. And they held me back, and I was, I had really lost. And I felt bad then afterwards. I mean, he's almost 7'8", 400 pounds. Yeah. And I feel bad that he was limited to what he could do. And I was just, I'd had enough. And that didn't happen very often. In my 30 years, it happened maybe twice.
You didn't lose your cool in the
ring. Now, I'd lose my cool afterwards. Like in the back, a lot of times, I chewed a lot of ass in the back, but not to the point where I lost, like I felt like I needed to beat somebody up.
Yeah. Was there ever an opponent or a wrestler that you knew this guy's got a little bit of a short temper and he can lose his cool pretty quick in the ring? And it was almost like, man, hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes right tonight and this guy doesn't, you know.
They're not really like I didn't like there was a I didn't like getting chopped.
Yeah.
Like I said, you could hit me in a safe area hard as you want. And that was what I was trying to, you know, to get across to Giant Gonzalez. I didn't like getting chopped. Flair obviously that's his deal.
Yeah.
And Sean, I'd let him chop me.
Certain people, certain situations.
I would let chop me. I remember it was just instinct kind of a deal. I think it was me and Kane against Rikishi and Haku. And Haku chopped me. And I immediately just kind of quickly grabbed him and turned him around. And it was one of those moments, like, I just did it, and then it dawned on me who I had just grabbed.
I was
and
whipped. About to say.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, because I whipped him around. I didn't tater him.
Yeah.
But I came out of, you know, they were in the middle of getting some heat, and I came out of it because I didn't like getting chopped, right? And it was like in that moment of like, oh, this is Haku. Thank goodness. Thank goodness he loved me and he liked me, because he just went with it and he didn't kill me.
His sons are, you know, now hot and heavy. They're in the bloodline now, and
they are. And I know them. I don't know them real well.
Yeah,
but their daddy.
Mm-mm. So the stories are true,
dude. Hey. I say it all the time. That man could be alone if he wanted to be alone.
Yeah.
That Haku, brother.
They say he's the toughest man.
But the craziest thing is he is a sweetheart of a human being.
Yeah.
I mean, just don't get him drunk and don't piss him off. Because, and even then, I think he has that ability to control himself.
Yeah.
But if you got out of line with him, dude, it could be really, really, really ugly. And I was just, and I had that moment that where I
spun. You almost.
I was like, oh my gosh, Mark, what have you done? Please, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say it out loud. I'm thinking to myself, oh man, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. But just don't kill me. I just don't like getting chopped. But if you want to chop me, I think it'll be
okay.
You
can do whatever you want.
Yeah. It was just, but he was such a professional. Paul Bear and I went to Japan. He was working in Japan at the time. Paul Bear and I went over there for a media tour, for a tour that was coming up. Man, he took us out. He took us to the restaurants. I mean, he knew everything. He was just a great human being. I just saw him in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I saw that he was at the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He looks pretty good.
Oh, he looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still gives me,
I wonder if that's how it is with just about, everybody in the locker room with him. Because, it seems like it's across the board where everyone, if they ask, who was the
Haku,
toughest, meanest dude or whatever, that could, if it was a real fight, if you were really going to throw down, who's the guy there? And it seems like everyone votes him as the guy.
It's almost mythical now.
Yeah.
How it was just... He had this thing, you would think it's a wrestling thing, where he would take his hand and stick it up under and grab somebody by their, larynx, their throat.
Yeah.
And he would just grab them and just choke, put them out. Gone. They're done.
It would knock them out?
It cut off, yeah.
It just cut off all their oxygen.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, I almost stepped in it that day. Yeah, I'm
without naming names. Was there guys that tested him in the locker room, mm-mm, thinking that it was
not? I never saw it.
Yeah,
I'm not around. Mm-mm. Nope.
Everyone just knew universally. No. This is not the guy.
This is not the one.
Yeah,
you were not the guy to test.
Yeah. We haven't met that guy yet.
No, Haku was.
So no one was ribbing Haku.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, sir. Mm-mm.
Oh,
he's a bad dude. I don't know about his boys, but I can't imagine.
First of all, they look just like him.
They look like they're smaller versions of him.
Yeah.
Because Haku, he's thick.
Yeah, he was a big boy.
And, man.
Yeah. Those guys
I'll finish this off. It made me nervous talking and telling that story.
Well, going back to Vegas, I think some of this it has to happen. If it doesn't, man, what a missed opportunity. They're talking about all the rumors, all the blogs, everything out there of potentially having Raw or SmackDown or both at the Sphere.
That would be cool. That'd be cool. I haven't been in it. Have you been in it?
No.
I don't know if it's big enough.
Your microphone's all jacked up.
What happened?
Oh, look, there you go. Go slower.
Slower?
Yeah. Something shot out of there.
What the hell was that?
Must have had some blue chew.
Where's our happy dad person at?
You need another happy dad? We need another happy dad.
I don't think that's your job.
No, it's not your job necessarily, but
talking about Haku made me nervous.
It's got him worried. But no, they're talking about, I've never been in the Sphere. Last time I was in Vegas, there was some folks that I work with that went, but I've never been inside of it. Have you seen it? I'm not running through them like he is. But we'll keep this one on reserve here in case the Samoans start
being brought
up again.
He's Tongan.
Have you seen the actual Sphere? Have you been to Vegas?
Yeah. The Sphere was up when I did my debacle there.
Oh, the One Dead Man Show. Man. I tell you what, we've talked about it enough. I think the One Dead Man Show might be able to sell the Sphere out if you bring if you bring Godfather. I don't know how many seats are in the Sphere.
I don't either. I don't know that I don't know if I want to try that again.
People might want to.
They just to see how bad
it could get.
It would actually, this time it would be probably, it would be really, really good because I wouldn't let what happened last time happen again.
That's what, well, now you see you just screwed it up. Everyone was going to buy tickets just for that. Just so they can see the same debauchery that happened last time, or what has been mentioned multiple times of debauchery that happened that night.
Hey, that was a great fight, though, the next night.
It was phenomenal.
Wasn't that a good fight?
Yeah. They were just talking the other day about Canelo fighting Benavidez, or the guy that we saw.
I don't think Canelo wants any yet. I'm not sure.
That was Shannon Sharpe was talking about that being a potential next or second fight. There was one other guy for Canelo to potentially fight, and that being his kind of going away.
That'd be the torch. Benavidez. Brother.
Man, he's a champ inside and outside of the ring. Good for him. Beautiful wife.
I didn't notice. I did not. I don't even remember that part.
Yeah, good for him.
I do feel like I need to do another One Dead Man Show in Vegas for
to
redemption.
Redeem yourself.
Yes.
God. Well, I mean, WrestleMania 41 might be your opportunity.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
I really feel bad about that. That was bad.
Well, you know.
It was like, man, we're climbing. Man, this is going to be awesome. And then all of a sudden, it just fell off the cliff. I need to do another show. I need to do it in Vegas, and I need to have Godfather.
Yeah.
Just to prove the point that
he can get you drunk a second time.
No, I wouldn't get drunk again. No.
So you honestly don't think that if you have a One Dead Man Show and you bring him out, are you just gonna have apple juice inside the bottle of Jack Daniels?
No. I got it.
You have figured it out because you've known Godfather for like 30 years.
No, I got it. One, I got it figured out.
I got it figured out.
It won't happen. I make a lot of mistakes.
One time.
Well, there's one mistake I've made a couple times, but again, we won't get into that. But those kind of mistakes, only once. And I feel like I need to redeem, because that's like, of all the, I mean, some shows are obviously better than others, but none of them were, I don't think, have been bad. And that show was bad because obviously I was drunk.
The first 45 minutes was inspirational and great.
The second 45 minutes, I was trying to get it back on track. The more I tried, well,
The first 15 minutes of the next 45 minutes, you were trying to get back on track. The last 20 to 30 minutes of that show was...
I gave control of the ship up. We're going down, boys.
Yeah, you hit the glacier, and it was...
And I knew it, but there was nothing at the time I could do about it.
I know what's happening. I know what's happening.
I know it's really bad.
Yeah.
But I can't.
I can't stop it.
I can't stop this thing. We're crash landing this thing.
Oh, man. I mean, it was a fun weekend.
The rest of that night was not fun.
The next day was great.
No, the next afternoon was pretty good.
Started at about 2 o'clock for you. I think it may have gotten a little bit better. But yeah.
I was so drunk and felt so bad. Like, I woke up feeling bad. Like, not just feeling bad because I drank so much, but I felt bad because I was really excited about that show. Like, I was playing Vegas, man. I was at the Cosmo. I was so excited to do that show. And that's why I brought Bear out. Like, I was like, man, I'm going to have my boy come out here and enjoy this with me and be part of this.
No.
Nope. We screwed the pooch on that
you're
one.
You're probably going to get a second opportunity at WrestleMania 41. And I think it would be really cool if Raw is at Sphere.
That would be cool.
SmackDown at the Sphere. They're talking about, if that's the case, then more than likely Hall of Fame will be, you know, there as well. because we talked about them having to figure out something with the Hall of Fame. With it being West Coast, of course, the show's going to start earlier on the West Coast. It will be much better this time.
Yeah.
But when they do move it, you know, to an East Coast venue, they're going to have to figure out something with the Hall of Fame, because that is a late night.
Let me ask you your opinion on this, because this just hit me, because they just did last week. They did the Tom Brady roast on Netflix. I wonder what I don't want to say instead of doing the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame is very important, but maybe some kind of restructure of it. But a roast. What do you think about doing a roast?
I don't know if a roast at the Hall of Fame is
I'm saying,
but I think doing a roast would be cool. I think, and now you've got my capitalist mind running like crazy, because we do know the man that owns several venues in Vegas.
I'm just saying.
Mr. Ford, and see what he could do. But I think doing a roast would be fun. I mean,
I think it would be huge.
I think what would be absolutely hilarious is all those guys that respect the crap out of you.
A
roast of the Undertaker.
Wait a minute. I wasn't talking about me getting roasted.
You want to talk about little gate. That would be a sellout show. Tony Hinchcliffe involved. He's writing scripts.
See what he did to Brady?
Exactly. And guess what? All those celebrities, I would go out on a limb and say that Tony probably wrote most of those jokes.
I wasn't volunteering myself to be roasted.
Oh, I know you're not. Nobody volunteers themselves to be roasted, but we're talking about selling tickets.
There's a lot of guys that come before I did that need to be roasted.
Who has the name of the Undertaker that deserves to be roasted before you do?
Hulk Hogan.
He wouldn't, you know, good and well, that would never happen.
Okay. Give me a no. I mean, let me think of somebody else.
Flair might be a little too sensitive.
Flair would be good, but he's affiliated with the wrong.
Yeah.
He's in the wrong branch.
But you think about it, man. You put on that marquee sign out there, the roast of the Undertaker.
Hey, will you stop saying that? You know WWE, they monitor this, right?
Oh, I know that they do. And I'm not saying that we do it, but I'm just saying WWE.
You speak things into existence sometimes when you just throw ideas out. I had an honest, genuine idea.
The roast of the Undertaker?
I don't.
And we know the roast master himself, Mr. Tony Hinchcliffe.
I don't know. I don't like that. But
I'm calling Tony.
You call who you want. It's a WWE thing, brother.
Tony will make it happen.
No.
We can just do it locally here at the mothership. We get Rogan's place to just put it on.
Put it on. Just have people come here and just toast me up.
Oh man,
roast. Yeah. Okay,
we can make it a weekly thing.
We find somebody. There's got to be somebody.
That's going to sell the tickets that it would be if it was you up there. Because here's the great thing. What's great about roasting someone is you want somebody that's well respected to get roasted. You want somebody that everyone speaks highly of. Someone that everyone thinks is great. And that's you. Everyone loves you.
I'm telling you what, if this somehow miraculously happens, me and you, we're going to have problems.
You're the one that brought up the roast.
I know, but now you're like all gung-ho about it. And now what's going to happen? What happened now is the internet is going to, they're going to blow up. They're going to like, oh, yeah, I think the roast would be a great idea. And it's going to happen.
If y'all think that the roast would be a good idea, please comment below. Say, hey, the nasally, grainy-voiced Matt Lyda, you were right. The roast.
You may or may not remember him as my co-host weeks ago.
But no, I think a roast would be great.
I don't.
Who would you want to see get roasted if it's not you?
Triple H.
That would be another great one.
Stephanie.
Stephanie would be great.
See, there's a lot of people.
There's not a lot. There's two. That's not a lot. There's like 50,000 wrestlers, and you've just chosen two people that could trump you when it comes to a... I don't even think they're trumping you when it comes to being on that marquee. You and Triple H...
I think it,
well, you and Triple H might be right here.
I'm just thinking that we need to do a test model. I think we should do Stephanie. She's back in the fold now. She's back in the company.
Might be a little too early.
Nah.
She's just now getting back in.
I know. Let's make it... We got a year. We got a year
for
it happening.
Got a year for her to get... Yeah.
1 year we roast Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I mean, just get a kick just to see if it works.
God, this would be... It's going to work. Of course it's going to work. Now, who's going to be doing the roasting? Because, once again, people that... You know, there's a lot of people that think they're funny. There's a lot of people that are funny in conversation. And there's people that go up there on that stage and they suck.
Yeah. All this... Oh, that's written.
Yeah. Teleprompter written. Yeah,
it's all written. Look at the people we have. You got Snoop.
He'll come out.
He'll come out for sure.
Pat McAfee.
I got all these. Yeah, are you kidding me? Shaq would come.
Shaq would love to come.
Barkley may come.
Especially if it's in Vegas, if you do it in Vegas.
You know, that place is going to be swarming with celebrities. Yeah, absolutely. In Vegas.
Will this be the biggest celebrity appearance at a WrestleMania?
I believe it will be. Yeah, I think so. It'll be bigger than LA.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't go to LA. There was a lot of celebrities, I would imagine.
There was, but I think Vegas will top that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's more celebrities that would rather go to Vegas anyway than LA.
Mm.
Huge opportunities in LA for them, though, at this event. And now that we're adding the roast to the weekend of events, you got one Dead Man Show that will probably come out due on Thursday. That might have to be bumped to Wednesday at this point. Maybe a matinee.
Matinee on Wednesday. Wow, thanks for having so much confidence in me.
Well, I mean, now that there's going to be the roast of The Undertaker,
it's not
going to
be Undertaker. It's
going to be the Dead Man Show to bury the roast.
No, it's going to be Stephanie or Triple H. That's the perfect.
Oh, you know what's great?
Because he's the shiz right now.
Oh, he's babyface, right?
Is he not a huge babyface?
Oh, yeah.
The Triple H era?
Everyone's loving.
Everybody loves him. Roast his ass.
Dude, if there was anybody that could be the Tony Hinchcliffe of WWE and roasting, Paul Heyman.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be good, too.
I think Paul Heyman could come out there and light up some people. I don't think you'd need a writer for Paul Heyman. I think he could just
give him, yeah. No, just give him the mic.
I think JBL would do good.
JBL would be awesome.
Not Cena would be roasted, awesome. But coming out there and actually roasting.
Yeah. Cena would be good.
Has Cena ever gotten roasted on like Comedy Central or anything?
I don't think so.
Because, I mean, he's in that other
he's in that
category to where he can. So, you put Cena out there to get roasted.
Let me think about this a little bit.
The Rock could roast some people.
Mm-hmm. He's got his writers. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
And he could be roasted as well. And, oh, man, you know what's great about WrestleMania 41, too? The dates. April 19th and 20th.
Well, that's further back than usual.
Do you know why that's significant, Mark? Because you know what is...
January, February, March, April, 420. Is that where you're going?
Nope, but you just now... That 420 in Vegas? Holy crap. Yeah.
My father...
He's gonna make so much money that weekend. You know what's happening April 5th and 7th? Probably something that... I don't know if you've ever gone to it. You probably always wanted to. If you haven't, the Final Four is happening April 5th and 7th. Do you know where the Final Four is happening? San Antonio.
Really?
Yes. So right down the street, because Mania always ends up butting up against the championship games.
Maybe that's why they backed it up.
Well, they even stated when they released it that it's not going to be getting interfered with the Final Four. With any, there's no other like sport, like the draft, nothing. Nothing is interfering with WrestleMania weekend. It is a cleared out sports weekend.
I think it's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
It will be absolutely crazy time.
Yeah. So now, because you got to think.
And I'm going to be stuck in my hotel suite for 5 days straight. It'll be great.
Well, once again, our buddy, you know, he has a lot out there. Maybe he can help guide you into a nice restaurant or something like that.
You think I can get my security team back?
We could reassemble the Power Rangers one more time to go against somebody. No, Vegas is going to be wild for WrestleMania. First time since WrestleMania 9. First time since Giant Gonzalez for you. Yeah,
I'm just going to go around and just tell that story to all the people working in WrestleMania. Just like, oh, let me tell you about the time I worked here. With Giant Gonzalez. Oh, it was brutal.
Think about it, though. Since WrestleMania 9, how it's grown from it being set up outdoors. Because that was the first ever outdoors WrestleMania as well.
Was it?
Yep.
Did you research that?
Yep.
Okay.
First time it was ever outdoors was at Caesars. Mm-hmm. But you think about, like, that was kind of revolutionary for them to do that, to have it outdoors and everything, right, the way they did. And it's gone from that to going to sell out Allegiant Stadium two nights in a row,
yeah.
And this year they've broken every gate record and everything else when it comes to WrestleMania and all that stuff. I've got a feeling that they're going to blow it out the water in Vegas.
Man, it's going to be huge.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that they could, how realistic do you think it is that they could potentially
get me to come back?
No.
No chance.
Well, let's see if The Rock keeps running his mouth. So, yeah, he likes to get on social media. He likes to be a keyboard warrior. But what's the realistic chance that they could sell enough tickets to where they did SmackDown and Raw inside of Allegiant as well? Is that a possibility? I know the setup and everything else is the reason why. I mean, there's no way that, but I don't think. But do you think for a WrestleMania weekend, if the setup, logistically, they could do it. Let's say logistically with the setup and everything, they could actually do it. Do you think that they could actually, with the way that wrestling is right now, do you think they could sell enough tickets to host SmackDown and Raw inside of the stadium that they're hosting WrestleMania in, no matter what that stadium is?
That'd be a tall, tall task right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking like ticket prices, everything else. I mean, I'm sure. I don't know what venue they're using for, possibly the Sphere, but I don't
that
think
that or
Thomas and Mac or
no, they'll use T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, where that's new. I forgot. Yeah, T-Mobile's the new one.
18,000 to 20,000, I think.
Yeah, in there. No, they'll sell that out both nights too.
Yeah,
I think it's too much of a logistical nightmare too. To get the sets,
changed,
because you know Vegas, it's gonna be so over the top. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. It depends on budgets, I guess. I know.
Yeah. With enough money, you can do anything.
Yeah, with enough money, you can do whatever you want. But I think they would want to go to T-Mobile or someplace like that to do Raw.
If they don't do the Sphere, man, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah, the One Dead Man Show in the Sphere would be.
I don't know what the seating capacity is.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't.
That'd be good, though.
Yeah, that'd be. I think that's amazing, the Sphere.
Oh, yeah. The outside of it is unreal. I think I saw that it was like, we're going to have some fun here in a second.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah. I think I saw when I was there in January. They had advertisements on it.
Hey, Dalton, go ahead and call 911 now, please.
I think the advertisement was $500,000.
What he has in his hand is the concentrate of a Carolina Reaper, a ghost chili, and I can't remember the third pepper. Yeah,
ghost pepper, scorpion,
and Carolina Reaper. The three hottest peppers,
I think, in existence.
In existence. And this is the concentrate of those. And he's going to...
So the reason why is my buddy, Alex, over at Firecracker Farm, sent us some product.
And it's very good the way he sent it. Well, I know he sent that as well, but...
He makes hot salt. And he takes salt and infuses it with...
Pepper. Different flavor.
And it's absolutely amazing. All right, so Dalton has zoomed in on this. So this is the concentrate right here. It's just a little...
Are you really going to...
Yeah, I'll try it.
Here, I'll pour it on there for you.
You going to have some?
No, I'm not having any. I'm going to pour it for you.
No, you should have some.
I don't want any.
Don't get it on your fingers, he said.
No, I'm not going to get it on my fingers. Is it come in a dropper?
I need
It comes in a dropper.
I need a water, like a bottle water, because I got a feeling this is going to be miserable. Like a big bottle, too. Like, I don't need...
Why are you...
Yeah, well, I'm just going to... I know I'm going to need it. What else would I drink if I'm not drinking water? Oh, gosh, the powder.
Yeah, coat your tongue right now.
With the red velvet cake.
Red velvet cake protein.
That probably actually wouldn't... That'd probably be the... Spicy stuff. Okay, we've got paper towels. I don't know what's going on. Well, I don't know. I'm worried why we're getting paper towels. This is where the show has gone.
we're starting to rely on cheap gimmicks.
No, I really want to try it. I do like hot stuff. Yeah. All right. So it's a really small bottle. Okay. They sent it with a spoon too.
Are you ready?
Yeah, just a drop. That's more than a drop.
That's a drop.
That is way more than a drop.
That is a drop. How's it smell?
It smells really good.
Does it?
Yeah. This is so dumb.
Why are you? Oh, no. If it smells good, then it's going to taste good.
You think so?
Yeah, look, watch this. Happy Dad smells good. Let me taste it.
Refreshing.
All right. Okay, so hey, this might help your voice.
Man, the folks are going to be happy about this.
It's going to help your voice. I don't think it's going to do much for your shoulders,
but we'll see what happens.
Here we go. What are you doing? Is it hot? Oh, what is it? Oh, what happened?
My tongue is in a fire right now.
But hey, you know what?
And my lips are too, Mark.
But you almost sounded like a man. Take one more.
No. You take one.
No, I sound like a
man.
It's
not that bad. It's not that bad.
No. I'm not doing one.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
Just do one.
No.
Don't do as much as I did. You did way too much on mine.
No. I'm not doing that.
Look, I'm not that bad.
No. You're fighting the... You're dumb.
This is awful. I need an ambulance.
I told him to call 911 already.
Mark, this is... Oh, God, that was bad. This was a dumb idea.
Why? What are you doing? Why are you on your phone?
I'm going to call the guy. We're going to call him.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Alex, I've got you on with Undertaker.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, man.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
I just took the extract.
How'd you make out?
He's laughing. He knows how you made out.
I am miserable.
I know how strong it is. I warned you, man.
He warned you.
Oh, was it okay?
No, my lips are... Seriously, my lips right now. Look.
Oh, they're beautiful. Look at that.
Alex, my lips are miserable right now. Your product is phenomenal, but you don't need to sell the extract.
Oh, I don't sell it for that reason. I think it's a little bit strong.
He doesn't sell it.
Drop, maybe. And if you get it on your skin, like, it's crazy that you can ingest it, but if you get it on your fingers and get it in your eye or something, wow, it's nasty.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Firecracker Farms.
Thank you guys for checking it out and having fun. I appreciate it.
All right, man. I hate you. Thank you.
See you, Alex. Oh, my goodness.
So he's a mad scientist down in Florida making this stuff.
It seemed that way. He seemed like he was very...
You know, when you meet him and you see him, you're like, so you're making food products.
Mm-hmm.
But they're good. The salt's really good. This, I'm glad he doesn't sell.
Yeah, he only gives that to his buddies.
Yeah.
That was dumb. I don't want to be buddies with this guy.
Yeah. And look how small... I mean, like...
Dude, I didn't put... I mean, I put... Just the covered the little bottom of that.
Two drops, three drops probably. I could take that, drop it in some like sauce or something for chicken wings, and I could see that it being good spread across a lot of things, but mm-hmm. not that hurt. I thought it was going to be worse than what it was. Like the one chip challenge was pretty bad.
How did that compare to the one chip challenge?
One chip challenge, much worse.
Really?
The worst thing that I've ever done was I ate a bunch of Carolina Reaper beef sticks. And I tried to eat five in a minute and they were about that, you know, maybe about 6 to 8 inches long.
What you usually are eating as far as your meat stick.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 to 6 inches, 6 to 8 inches is my preferred meat stick length. Yes, Mark. But I ate a bunch of those and that was the worst experience of my life. Was that.
Yeah.
Yep. That was awful. This isn't terrible. This burned my lips because I licked my lips. I thought it was going to be worse. My tongue's a little sore. My lips are starting to cool down. I feel better. So, yeah.
Your voice has gotten much better.
You think so?
Yeah.
Was that it?
I think that's what it is. I think we need to give you a couple dabs of this before we start shooting, and you'll sound like a man and not like a 12-year-old boy.
Maybe that's all the fans were... Maybe that's all the fans were wanting. See? Was me to eat some Firecracker Farms extract.
I mean, now for me to be a real man, you sound like a dumb man. But you
my daddy, I'm not a smart man.
Come on, Forrest.
But no,
my lordy.
Well,
this is what it's all come down
this
to.
This is what it's come down to. I can't wait till Vegas though.
Oh,
Vegas. Can't wait till Vegas.
We roast Stephanie.
Maybe you. That's on the. No. That's on. The,
nah, they won't like. They won't get with that.
Oh, they'll love it. No. The roast of the Undertaker, and you know what we should do? We should do something like that. And if anyone in the crowd laughs, Haku goes out there and beats him up.
Yeah, I like that idea.
It's almost like a. Can you actually get through this roasting without laughing? Because if you do laugh, Haku's going to come out there
and just smash
beat
you.
The piss out of you. Yeah.
Now that I might get on board with that.
Watch that.
That's entertainment.
That could be fun. Yeah, that could be fun.
I could enjoy that.
Well, Mark, I don't know if this was a good episode, but it was another episode.
Yeah.
And
we got any questions or anything?
You want to answer a question?
Let's answer a couple questions.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions for you. How about that? from Marshall Carter. Hey, Taker, been a fan since 95 when you wrestled the British Bulldog on Raw. My question is, what was your favorite Undertaker return? I love them all, but SummerSlam 94 is probably my favorite. Would love if I get a response. Love the show. You're the greatest of all time. Also, Alabama will get our revenge next year. Roll Tide.
You can roll out the door with that Tide stuff. They're done. There's a new sheriff in town. But I appreciate your question.
Go Gamecocks. Best return.
I laugh. He's talking about Raw in 1995 against British Bulldog. I have absolutely zero recollection of that. I hate to admit it. I have absolutely zero recollection of something that happened 30 years ago.
That's because you had everyone's watched those TV shows, but you wrestled. If there was one match on television, how many matches did you wrestle to, you know, in that.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, every match that wound up on television, how many matches did you actually wrestle?
Oh my God. Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. my favorite return, 94 is one of them. That's when I went to the Purple, Undertaker versus Undertaker there in Chicago. I would have said the return as the American Badass, but that kind of got rushed because we ran out of time. They went a little bit long in the segment, so we had to do that like really, really fast instead of letting it breathe and let everybody soak that in. That would have been one of them. And then I think the transition back from the American Badass more into that hybrid Undertaker version was, that was fun. But overall, I think probably the 94 return, because it was still all the essence of the Undertaker, the old school Undertaker. We just moved from the gray to the purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vince loved the purple. I would have never probably changed if it was left up to me.
Yeah.
But, no, I shouldn't say that. I knew when things need to be tweaked and changed, but I'm just partial to black and gray. But 94, yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Just
does the you don't consider like coming out at WrestleMania 40 or anything a return at all, or is that when you think of return, is it something where I've come back and there's some longevity?
Yeah. That was an appearance.
You put that into an appearance category.
Yeah, I don't put that as a return. That's an appearance.
Yeah.
And moving forward, that's all you'll get is an appearance. There will be there is no more returns. There is no more longevity coming back and then working programs or wrestling and taking bumps. Those days are long gone. Yeah. Get used to the hoodies and the bandanas. That's what you're going to get from moving forward.
Unless The Rock keeps running that mouth.
I've already beat him up in a hoodie, so why change?
And some Hokas.
Hey, bro.
You know what I mean?
Like, man, I had to be comfortable. Wrestling boots aren't comfortable. These are.
Oh, man. You and Michelle, her Uggs and your Hokas. You're just...
I'm just telling you, man.
It's all about comfort.
It is. At this point, it is.
All right. So this is from Marco Tervonen from Finland. What did you think at the time when WWE changed to a PG format in 2008? Do you think it had a negative or positive effect on the product?
Well, that's kind of a two-edged sword there. Going PG, it opened the door for bigger high-end sponsorship.
Yep.
People would, people that in the Attitude Era, nobody would touch us as far as like the Coca-Colas and the Ford Motor Company and all those. Those big brands wouldn't touch us because we were so edgy. And then once we went to PG, then we started getting some more mainline sponsorship. So in that aspect, it was good because obviously advertising revenue, it means the world for your budget and what you're doing. Now, far as a talent and what we did in the ring, I mean, there will never be anything that tops the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
I mean, it was as close to, rated R as you could possibly get. And it was so much fun because you could do just about anything and everything that you wanted. So for as a talent, pre-PG was obviously my favorite, but as a business and then as a business model and moving forward, the PG era is what it is. And it's about the business and the bottom line. So
I feel like we're seeing a little bit of a movement.
Yes, you're right. There is a little bit of a movement. It's the needle. They pop the needle every once in a while and just test the waters. I think now this is me, my fan perspective watching, yep. From the outside in now, just testing the waters to see where things set and how far I think they can push the envelope. Because I think in general, I think Paul, as Kid Creative, would like to, I think he would like to get the product a little edgier. But again, you've got to deal with your sponsors and the people, you know, your Fox Network TV.
Well,
there's
we're Raw's about to go into Netflix.
Well, that's still a while a ways, but even Netflix is.
Well, what I'm thinking is, are we looking at them maybe over the next? Because we're 8-9 months away from Netflix. Are we looking at potentially over the next 8 or 9 months, Paul testing that waters a little bit more just to see what the appetite is like for the fan base and if it's something that maybe they've already had those conversations with Netflix where it's like, hey, we want to be a little bit edgier. And is Netflix going to be okay with that?
I mean, it's a possibility, but look at the business right now. It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So there's two trains of thought on that. There is, okay, let's test the waters. And what demographic are we going to miss? Because are we going to reach if we go back, if we step back? See, the thing is the business is so, I was going to say the word exposed now.
Yeah.
There really is no kayfabe or no secret to anything anymore. So how far do you push the envelope for,
But is the business doing good because, and doing better than it's ever done because we did get a taste of the Attitude Era with The Rock coming back?
No, business was.
It was doing great before.
No, then. It was doing phenomenal. But
there's a
before.
Fire right now. That's like
it is. I mean, Rock obviously helped that because I mean he's the biggest star in the world, right? I mean he has got his hands in everything, and but. I don't really know. I don't really have a thought. Would I like to see a little edgier product? I would personally, because that's what I did, and that's what my era for most of my career. That's the way we did things. So, as a nostalgia piece, I guess I'd love to see a little more edgier content and a little more physicality, like roughhouse physicality, not that. What they're doing it in physical, it's crazy physical, but I'm just talking about I want to see more fist fights and a little less dancing. And that was kind of what the era, you know, the Attitude Era was. I'm sure that the internet leeches will take that clip and just Undertaker, you know, wants to see this. I don't
really manipulate it. However,
just watch the whole episode. Get the whole story. I don't know. Like,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens on Netflix, just because that is a behind a paywall. You've got to be able to pay to have that access. And
you look out in our audience, you still see a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And kids drive. Well, there's a lot of men wearing wrestling shirts and wrestling belts. But you don't want to single out one demographic to just cater to one. So I don't know.
There's
I think
a balance there. That's tough.
It is a tough balance. And unless you're going to do two different shows at different different time periods.
Yeah,
and like once a later.
And once you make that switch, it's hard to go back.
It is hard to go back.
Because it's hard to win fans back over.
Absolutely.
It's hard to win parents back over that might not want their kids watching something or taking them to a certain thing or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that's...
But you have to continually evolve your business. And just because the business is scorching hot right now, you know, it's all timing, really.
It really is.
It really is. Like, if business took a nosedive right now, and now you're going to Netflix, and you might have a little bit more freedom. I could see more of an Attitude Era just to get that demographic back. But if right now, the formula is working, and it's working really well. So,
I don't know if you've seen this or kept up with it or know much about it. Have you seen the WWE Speed that they're doing?
I didn't see any of the matches. I know that Ricochet ended up winning it.
I haven't seen any of the matches either, but it's exclusively on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it now.
And it's like a three-minute match or
three-minute
like
matches.
Wow.
And I think that the one thing that WWE is doing is they're keeping up with the times, you know, old saying there.
Yeah.
They're keeping up with the times, and they're understanding that the attention span is...
It's quick.
It's quick.
Yeah.
And the days of the Iron Man matches might be... I don't think they're not long they're gone.
No,
I don't think they're long gone, but I think it is for something that's going to be a weekly type of thing, like that Speed.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people like that. I mean, I can, you know, sit on the toilet at work and watch a wrestling match now.
I don't know that.
But I mean, that's just for a lot of people are going to be able to do that now. And but I think that's just also just a testament to WWE understanding their audience.
Yeah.
And I think that we can sit here and play armchair quarterback and go, they should do this or they should do that when it comes to whether it be PG, PG-13, Attitude Era style right. stuff, whatever. But I think those guys sitting in Connecticut know a little bit more than
you
the fans, than me. I'm not going to say you. I think you know more, but they definitely know more than most of the people that are, you know, watching this and listening to it. So we can sit here all day and say, oh, I think it should go back to this or it should go back to that. But
it's hard. Working. It's hard to beat. It's hard to argue about anything at this point.
Cause I mean,
they are scorching.
I don't know.
I saw clips from Backlash,
but not even Backlash. I'm talking SmackDown. They broke the gate for SmackDown in France.
Yeah, well, I mean it's crazy. I mean the product,
and dude, then at Backlash, I know you didn't get to see the entire event.
I didn't see any of it. Thanks for trying to cover for me. I didn't see any of it.
I appreciate the effort.
I was with my family.
At an event. The fan base in France was unreal. So, yeah. I mean, it's just the product's better than ever. So, I don't know if going – you can't go back to the Attitude Era.
No.
You can't replicate what you guys did. Because it was organic.
Yeah.
You can't go back to that.
You can only – you got to evolve, not
– Yes.
Yeah.
I think you can take elements of what y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
And you can implement them into today's product.
Yeah.
But to try to replicate what y'all did, it's going to be forcing a square peg into a round hole. It's not going to work.
No. Just the talent themselves are so different. Society is so different. The way people came up are so different. They have no way to relate to a lot of the things that we did.
Yeah.
So that's why it wouldn't work. You have to take what this talent that's out there now, you have to take what they know and let them take that and let it grow. You can't force. Yeah, you're right. You can't force something that they don't know anything about.
Today's times relate more. Today's fans or today's kids relate more to a Logan Paul and an iShow Speed and those guys that they're working with than they do necessarily with a Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's hard for me to get an affirmative yes out of that because Stone Cold's. But I understand what you're saying. I understand what I'm saying, regardless of talent level, this has nothing to do with talent level or potential or anything else. They would have never got those opportunities in the Attitude Era. Our fan base back then would not have accepted any of those guys whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because the roster and everything we did was just, it was just a different time period. And you're right. Nowadays, there's so much, everything is internet. Everything is, people.
And Instagram, YouTube.
Yeah. That's what everyone knows now. So that's why somebody like him can come along who has absolutely, you know, he's talented and can do a lot of things. That's why him and guys like Bunny and all those guys get that because they're just, That's a sign of the times.
And they got built-in heat already, too. Like a, like a Logan Paul's got built-in heat before he ever even goes in the ring because of what he's done on social media and people, you know, hate him over there or whatever.
And as long as you embrace that, he'll be fine. He'll be hot.
Yeah.
Stay hot as long as you embrace it.
Yeah. Mm. So it is hard to, but I mean, in his own right, you take a look, you look at a Logan Paul and he's got some attitude era elements about him, you know, that work for today's age more than it does back, back then.
But it's just different times. But whatever it takes, man, whatever it takes to put eyeballs on the product, I'm all for it. And I never thought that I would be the guy to say this, but I mean, whatever it takes to put eyeballs on the product and expand and grow the product, then man, let it be. Let it roll.
The right product. They're pushing the right buttons right now, too.
Dude, they are in the zone right now.
Yeah.
That is just, I mean, it's fun to watch and it's exciting to see, especially with everything that's transpired over the last year, to come out on the other side and business be so freaking good and everybody in such a good place. Like it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
It really is. All right, Mark. Like I said a little bit ago, might not be the best episode, but it's an episode.
Hey, it can only get better.
It can only get better. Thank you.
All of our great sponsors.
Happy Dads made you happy today. Go get yourself some Happy Dad. There was a person that tagged us on social media I saw the other day that was like, Undertaker influenced me to try Happy Dad. And
hey, just drink responsibly.
Just drink responsibly. Get yourself some Happy Dad. We want to thank
First Form. Get your swell on. Get your fitness up.
Yeah.
I want to thank we got to thank the University of Texas, right? Oh, Wiley X, Matt's new wood shades.
I'm not thanking the University of Texas.
You will thank the University of Texas. They're going to save the SEC.
Rich Wallet told us that they were like, hey, just do like one episode, and we've like plugged them in every one of them because they actually make pretty good products.
They actually do make actually. Good. Yeah, I like to carry my wallet in my front pocket because I don't like pickpockets.
Yeah, that's a big thing now is pickpocketing. Magic Mind.
That's what keeps us clear and focused.
Clear and focused. Ashwagandha keeps my dick big.
Yeah.
Or
does it make you a big dick? I don't know which one.
Same thing.
Okay.
All right. So all of our fans, thank y'all for watching another episode. Please comment below how much you hate me, and maybe you'll get called out on the next episode. You never know.
Down the road, we need to have, because I've got a habit. I've got a break. And this is down the road. I'm not ready to do it yet. And we've got a few episodes now in the can.
A habit you got to break.
I do. I say, you know, too much.
Oh, dude, I go, too much.
I want to have a contest, like, before an episode airs, the one that we do live, like, someone guess the amount of times I say, you know, so that keeps me conscious of it so that I don't say, you know, all the time.
So the next three episodes we're going to have guests on. I don't recall you saying, you know.
Well, I'm already thinking about it. But I know it's something that I do because
you know?
I say you know when I'm trying to think about what it is I want to say. Instead of sitting there like, you know?
Yeah.
I'll say you know a lot. I know it's
I think everybody's got those tics and those habits. I've got a lot of them.
I want to break mine. I want to be better.
Well.
Because that's how much pride I take in this.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as you over there sucking up my fame. Look at you.
Just follow me over on Instagram and on the Twitters and all that stuff. And book me It's
X.
Book me at your next event. I can be your guy.
Ashwagandha Lida.
Undertaker's bad, nasally, scratchy voice co-host.
Who talks too much?
Matt Lida.
Mark. You struck a nerve. They struck a nerve, I could tell. That bothers you. Please don't make any more comments.
He reads the comments.
Please don't comment on on my co-host. He was handpicked by me. Handpicked. Special.
No, please comment. I can't wait. Can't wait to read more.
I know that's why you, that you, you, that's just in case you start crying right there, that big old roll.
That's it.
All right, we're out. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, y'all.